Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Rick Green, and he is known, at least in some circles, as America's Constitution Coach. He's the Honorable Rick Green, a former Texas state representative, a lawyer, and a successful entrepreneur who's built several businesses from the ground up. His goal is to help America become salt and light in every area of life and to understand America's godly history and foundation. And he travels the nation speaking for Wall Builders Foundation and Patriot Academy. Resides in Dripping Springs, Texas, with his wife, Kara, and their entire family. Now, Rick, if you would, today, let's start by talking about the Patriot Academy, because I think that in doing so, when we talk about why you started Patriot Academy and what Patriot Academy does, I think that'll lead us into a whole bunch of other things.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. Thanks for all that y'all are doing. It's good to be with you and spread the word and sharpen a little countenance together, and like iron sharpens iron. That's what Patriot Academy is all about. We're big believers in civil discourse and training young people, especially. That's how we started back when I used to be a state rep in the old days. Mm-hmm. I just saw a need for raising up a remnant that really understood biblical worldview and understood what made America great in the first place, and were equipped to defend it. So we call them the Navy SEALs of civics. We really get them ready to enter those arenas. And if they don't go into politics, then whatever they do, business, ministry, whatever it is, we just want them to be good citizens. So really learning that foundation. And then it just kind of grew from there. We started training adults on the Constitution and teaching Constitution classes around the nation. And now we've got about 30,000 Constitution coaches where they do the training in their living rooms or churches or wherever they gather. And now we're building the Patriot Academy campus in Fredericksburg, Texas, so a place where people can come in and spend a week with us and get trained and learn, really be in the hot seat of a legislative session. We built a legislative hall so that we could do our simulations. And so just imagine pastors and parents or grandparents with their grandkids. We're seeing a lot of that. People just coming in that have never done anything like that and learning how to testify in a committee or how to get a bill out of committee or, how to debate on the House floor. They go home better citizens because then they understand the process. And that's our whole goal, is just to help citizens live out their freedom, restore the biblical foundations of the country, and make sure that we're being good stewards of what God's given us.
Amen. Let's talk a little bit about those biblical foundations and some evidence that the original intention of the founders was not to have a pagan culture and to have a culture where faith in God was excluded from the public square, but where faith in God was the glue that held the fabric of society together.
Amen. Jim, you said it exactly right. I mean, that's kind of, you just dispelled, you said the opposite of the lies that have been literally poured into the minds of multiple generations in America. Mm-hmm. They think that it is supposed to be a pagan, and somehow that made us great, that we separated religion from public life, and because we got God out of the equation, we ended up with freedom. Nothing could be further from the truth. You're exactly right. It is the glue that held it all together, and what a great time to remind Americans. We're, about 430 days or so, 40 days from the 250th birthday of the nation. Well, what are we going to celebrate on the birthday of the nation? The Declaration of Independence. Well, the Declaration of Independence makes it very clear. We're not endowed by our government. We're not endowed by each other. We're endowed by our Creator, that God's the source of our freedom. That's what made us different, is that government doesn't give us our rights. God gave us our rights, and then we create government to protect those rights. And that turned the world upside down. I mean, it literally was a new formula. So yeah, you nailed it, man. And I think getting that back, I love the fact that President Trump even said, we're bringing God back, right? In other words, what he meant by that was we're not going to push God out of the public square. I'm sure I disagree with President Trump on a ton of, biblical things or religious things, but the idea that we tried to have a society without God is the exact opposite. George Washington said religion and morality are indispensable supports of political prosperity, and in vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism that would work to subvert these great pillars. He's basically said, you got to have religion and morality as the foundation you build this thing on, or it won't work. Freedom does not work when it's a pagan society.
Amen. And if you look through the history of the world, not just U.S. history, but look at world history, you see that freedom is not the norm.
That's right. That's right. Most people that ever lived on the planet did not enjoy what we've enjoyed here in America. Most people never got to choose who their leaders were going to be, what their laws were going to be. Most people didn't have the freedom to self-govern. And the whole idea of self-governance requires a religious foundation, because if you don't have a concept of right and wrong that permeates your culture, everybody does whatever's right in their own eyes, and it becomes your truth, my truth, to the point that we don't even know what a woman is, right? We've seen how that can happen even in our society here in America, and if we want liberty, then we must get back to this idea that liberty comes from God. And as one of my mentors, Zig Ziglar, used to always say, his best blessings are found within his boundaries. If you don't have his boundaries, you start going crazy. You literally get to a point where people start begging government to get bigger and to have tyranny just to keep us from killing each other, just to keep us from, just to have some semblance of order. That's what ends up happening when you remove God from the equation, which then you end up in bondage, not in freedom.
Amen. I was just talking to our students last week about when I was a child and wanting to break free from the boundaries as a preschooler. We lived in the Chicago suburbs, and right down the street at the end of the block, there was a train track. And so I was very familiar with how trains operate and the fact that they are always going to be in that piece of ground, not coming up the street to our house. And my mom said to me one day, she said, Jimmy, if a train decided that it was tired of having to go up and down the tracks all the time doing the same thing the same way and decided, that is a lovely field out there. I want to take a detour and go out into that field. What would that be called if the train jumped off the tracks and tried to go out through the field? And I said, that would be a train wreck. And she said, exactly. God's boundaries, God's rules that he gives us are for our good. And when we operate in accordance with what God has said, there's tremendous freedom.
Amen.
But when you think, oh no, I want to go my own way, chart my own course, pick my own path, you're a train wreck. You're lying.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Your mom was brilliant. That's brilliant. I love that. That's a great way to teach that.
As a child, I mean, she didn't have to explain that twice. I got
it. Yeah. Well, I think it's the same, not just for us, but for our neighborhood, for our community, for our state, for our nation. The same rules apply. That I love the fact that the founders have in that first paragraph, the laws of nature and nature's God, because if you think about that, if you line up with those things, it's basically Deuteronomy all over again, right? If we do these things, we line up with the way God created the world, then we can get blessings. But if we go against those things, if we ignore those things, we get the train wreck. We get the curses. I'm going to interject that from now on, Jim. I'm stealing that from your mom.
Well, I'm happy for you to do it, and she would be too.
That's great.
I think, there's an enormous temptation in the human heart to want to be our own God. It goes all the way back to the garden. Satan didn't say, hey, why don't you become my slaves? Satan said, hey, you don't have to do what God said. You can be your own boss. You can have it your way. Problem is, everybody in human history who tries, as we all have, to be our own boss, finds out that we're not our own boss. We're slaves to the forces of darkness.
Amen.
And that's what happens in the culture. The culture thinks we're going to liberate ourselves. Psalm 2, let us cast off their chains. We don't want to submit.
Yeah.
God isn't threatened by this. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. But the problem is we are the ones who are destroyed. And again, when I was a kid, I realized that if you disobey and go play in a high traffic street and you get hit by a car, that's not punishment so much as the reason why someone who loved you told you not to play in the street.
That's right.
When God says, don't do this, it's because he loves us.
Amen.
He knows what will lead to human flourishing. And he knows that sin inevitably leads to death and destruction. So,
man, you're hitting, it's such a good topic that has been needed for so long, even the language you're using, because, you know, they've tried to convince us that love, the word love means, you know, encourage, celebrate, you know, enable the worst things imaginable. And that if you dare to say that those things are wrong, those might harm you, those will harm you, those are bad for our society, or it's bad for your family. If you dare to do that, that's somehow hate. They've literally turned the words upside down. What you just described is actual love. If I really do love you, I can't stay silent. I can't watch you self-destruct. If I really love my country, I can't stay silent when the poison of Marxism is being poured into the minds of our children and they're taught to hate each other and hate their nation. If I love them and I love our nation, I've got to speak up. I've got to do something about it. I think you just described exactly, you put your finger on the real place where we lost the culture, was when the church bought that lie that oh, if we're loving, we won't stand up and say anything.
That's right. Well, now tell me about, and tell our listeners about wall builders, because you've been speaking on their behalf as part of that. How did the Bartons come to these conclusions about U.S. history? Did they just make it up, or did they actually do some research?
You know, it's really funny. It's interesting. David he hated history and government as much as I did in high school and college. He was a math and science guy. And the Lord just put on his heart, you know, go study what happened when we took prayer out of school in 1962. And so as a stats guy, he went in and he charted all these things. He took all the cultural indicators. You know, you think about all the things you want to go up, like test scores and income and all those things. And he said it was literally just shocking to him that I think it was 40-something categories. Everything you wanted to go up started going down in 62. Everything you wanted to go down, like, you know, crime and that sort of thing, went up. And see, he said it was just it was a statistical impossibility that everything literally arced at that moment. And so that put him on that journey to say, well, why would prayer in schools be such a cultural indicator and change things? And then that, of course, led to his book Original Intent and really studying the Constitution and starting to collect the original documents so that he wasn't just quoting what some professor said, some other professor said, but instead he was actually quoting the founders or the people that actually debated, say, the 14th Amendment after the Civil War, really getting to the original intent. And and I was fortunate enough to find him when I was first running for the state legislature in 1998. I actually found him a few years before that. Somebody gave me one of his cassette tapes, and it changed my whole thinking because, again, I had hated history. And all of a sudden, this guy's telling these stories, and I felt like I got in a time machine and went back and was living that history through the eyes of the Founding Fathers. So I fell in love with it. I got every one of his tapes. I memorized all his stuff, and I was doing all these speeches using his material, and I was giving this speech after I got elected, and his parents were in the room, and I didn't know it. And I always tell the story this way. They went to David, and they said, hey, this kid stole all your material. You might as well hire him. So that's how I got to be with the Bartons. So I've been with him 25 years. And I don't know, Jim, we've got a lot of similar history, but I'm an entrepreneurial type, and I'd never actually worked for anybody else. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you know, David had come and asked me if I wanted to go to work for him, and I felt like the Lord said to me, humble yourself and go learn at this guy's feet for a couple of years, then you can go do whatever you want. Well, 25 years later, I'm still with him. So he's just he's very much a Christ-like man. I love serving with him. And he's very careful about, you know, when we stake out a position on what the founder said or what the Constitution intends and means, that he can back that up with original sources. And that's really gained Wall Builders a fantastic reputation. The people that hate Wall Builders and Patriot Academy and all that, they're the ones that revised history, and we're now knocking the legs out from under all of their revisions. And so they can't stand us. And so they love to cast aspersions and seize on any misstep or anything. You know, they just, it's really been a thorn in the left side. But I think God designed all of this for such a time as this. You know, he put David on this 35 years ago, and then connected me with him 25 years ago and started Patriot Academy and all those things for this moment right now. We're literally rebuilding the walls. I mean, wall builders comes from that scripture in Nehemiah, arise and rebuild the walls that we may no longer be a reproach. And I thought all these years I've been rebuilding the walls with David. I finally figured out just in the last couple of months, no, we've been asking the king for permission all this time. We've been stuck in the second chapter of Nehemiah. The king has finally, of course, we the people, I know you know what I mean by that. The people are the king in America, and the people have finally said, yes, the pain is bad enough. We don't want to go back into tough times. Please rebuild the walls. And so now we have the opportunity. We have to know which bricks to use. We got to know how to lay them correctly, what the mortar is, and God gives us all of that. The formula's in his word, and now's our opportunity to go rebuild the walls in America.
Praise God. When I was a teenager, I was in my early 20s. We were in the mess with Watergate. During the investigation, Senator Sam Ervin from North Carolina, the old senator there, raised a question of how what the Nixon White House was doing was a violation of the law. And John Dean, the young attorney, said, well, I'm not sure that that is what that law actually means. And I'll never forget Sam Ervin's response. He leaned forward and he said, well, I'm certain that that's what it means for two reasons. First of all, English is my mother tongue. And secondly, I wrote that law.
Wow.
So that ended the discussion.
No kidding. I love it.
You know, the room just erupted in laughter, but it was the perfect response, and it was true. And when you take people back talking about original intent, or David Barton takes people back talking about original intent, this is not what we're imagining maybe they meant, because there are other things beside the founding documents that elucidate what they meant.
Exactly.
A lot of discussions. And there's no attempt on your part or wall builders to try and suggest that all the founders were a bunch of godly, devout followers of Jesus Christ. They weren't all. Some were not. But even those who were not recognized, this is what we need.
Amen.
You know, I may not live this way, but I know it's true. Or I may not be convinced of its truth, but I am convinced that if the people will rally around this, we'll have a unity that builds strength.
And amen. So
there were different backgrounds on these folks, and we have the writings.
That's right.
What they said. It's not, well, we have to imagine. No, we don't. We have it, and it's in our native language.
Yes. And they were prolific. I mean, volumes and volumes of letters back and forth, or notes from conventions or other, you know, public meetings and entities. And I love how you just broke that down. If I could hit those three categories real quick. I love standing underneath the signing of the Declaration painting in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol. And I stole this from Tim Barton, but I love saying to the crowd when we're doing a tour, I'll say, these guys behind me, these founding fathers of America, this is going to shock you. They were human. They were sinners. They did evil things just like you and just like me. They were human beings. And then I say exactly what you just said pretty much is, you know, now most of them, absolutely outspoken Christians, lived it, talked it, spoke it, wrote it, no doubt about it. Probably about, you know, 90, 95% of them. But then there's 10 or 12 that, man, they denied Christ. They denied the deity of Christ. They didn't believe. We couldn't in any way, shape, or form call them Orthodox Christians. But they all believed in God. They all believed in responsibility and that you would answer for what you do. They didn't believe in this deist God that's not involved. They believed it was an active God, paying attention to what we were doing and involved. And there was some of them like what you just described. In fact, I would argue Ben Franklin is like an Elon Musk in that more faith-based than Elon Musk. But like Elon Musk, Elon calls himself a cultural Christian, right? And what he means by that is, I don't believe that stuff, but man, they sure make good citizens. I'd sure want that Christian to be my neighbor. I'd sure want the law to reflect that. I want to live in a neighborhood where murder's wrong and stealing's wrong and all of those things. And so you nailed it, man. That's exactly the atmosphere I forget the historian's name, but he said the atmosphere they were breathing was Christianity. So they were, it was literally just, it permeated everything, and you see it in the Declaration, you see it in the Constitution, you see it in the laws that they did, even the Northwest Ordinance, religion, morality, and knowledge. So knowledge was last. It was like religion and morality. If you're going to have the knowledge, you got to know what's right and wrong, what to do with that. Anyway, I didn't mean to filibuster there, but you got me excited because I love the way you described it.
Thank you. Well, I know, too, America would not have had the revolution that we had if it hadn't been for the Great Awakening coming first.
That's right.
God's Spirit did a mighty work across this land, and lives were changed, and families were changed, and institutions were changed. And as a result, there was a unity in faith. Again, not everybody believing the exact same things. But there was a unity that recognized the supremacy of God and that emboldened the people to believe that we could have self-government.
Amen.
If we had not had the Great Awakening, we might have still had a revolution, but it would have been much more like France.
Amen. Oh, you're so right.
That was a horrible, bloody thing.
That's right.
That has never borne good fruit.
Well, in fact, that quote I gave a few minutes ago about Washington, religion and morality, he did that in his farewell address, watching the French fall apart, like watching them have a revolution without God. And so he was basically pointing out, you know, the American Revolution was a recognition of freedom from God. The French Revolution was just freedom, just libertas. We're just going to do whatever we want. And honestly, Jim, that's what we've, the libertarian movement is a lot like that in America. And I think they're waking up to realize that this whole, like, let me just become unhinged from anything and do everything that I want. They redefined liberty to mean do anything and everything that you want. And that's not, you go back to Webster's 1828 dictionary, and liberty is not defined that way. There's a reason to have a right and wrong in those boundaries, those train tracks you were talking about earlier. And I think a lot of libertarians are waking up to that and going, you know, I don't have to necessarily believe everything you believe, but I'm starting to realize the Joe Rogans of the world and the Elon Musks of the world, they're literally saying, I'm realizing we need Jesus. We need right and wrong. We need religion in our culture, and we're getting back to it. And one other point on that, just real quick, is what you were saying earlier about going back to those original documents and back to, you know, painting the true picture. We like to call it telling the good, the bad, and the ugly. We don't hide from the bad things. We don't hide from the mistakes. We want to tell it all. And when I stand in Independence Hall and teach the Constitution in the room where it was framed and teach the Declaration in the room where it was framed, it's like shaking hands with the Founding Fathers. It's like going back to where they did those things. And when you go into David's library and you pull those original documents out, it's all there for us. Like you said, there's no secrets. There's no, we don't have to cherry pick. I think the people that distort history, they cherry pick. They look for just one line and they take it out of context. When you take it in its totality, you can say about a guy like Jefferson, hey, yeah, late in life, he denounced a lot of the orthodox Christian things, but early in life and while he was president and while he was doing the Declaration, man, he was helping get Bibles printed. He was supporting ministers of the gospel. And at the time he's doing the most important things in his life, he shared most of our convictions. Later in life, did he say a lot of crazy things? Yeah, he was a bit of a, you know, interesting guy, man, throughout his life. It was kind of weird. So we can tell that whole story and still conclude from that whole story. Faith in society is not just good, it's necessary. Faith, our Christian foundations in are reflected in our laws, is not just good, it's necessary for a self-governing people. It's so important to do everything you just said. And man, I'm just thrilled that people have an appetite for it now like never before.
Praise God. Well, I think it is important for us to recognize that we can't just sit at home and ignore
yes.
what's going on. And we can't just sit at home and say, well, this is terrible, but there's nothing we can do. We are not living in the Roman Empire.
That's right.
We are living in a democratic republic where we not only have a right, but we have a responsibility.
Amen. Yeah, and if we don't do it, I'll be pretty blunt, man. I think we're the wicked and slothful servant. I think we've been given the talent, and if we bury the talent out of either laziness or fear or whatever excuse, if we're not using the talent of freedom, if we're not participating, and you said it exactly right, we're not in a dictatorship, we're not in a Roman Empire, we're in charge, we're the king, we the people are in charge of our government ultimately, and to bury that talent and be the wicked and slothful servant, ooh, boy, I don't want to do that. I want to do everything I can to multiply and grow that freedom that God's given us, that responsibility that he's given us. And I think the church is starting to wake up. You know, we've been asleep at the wheel for a while. There's been a small percentage of the church. We are starting to wake up and realize we try to take a hands-off approach. We bought into this whole separation thing, and that was a train wreck. I'm going to keep coming back to your metaphor. It's turned into a train wreck. Let's get the train back on the tracks so it can be healthy and prosperous and get the goods from one town to another.
Amen. Amen. Well, Rick, thank you so much, both
yes, sir.
For the work that you're doing and for taking time to come and be on the broadcast with us today. I really do believe that we've got to fight the battle on our knees first.
Amen.
Just as there was a spiritual awakening that preceded the revolution here in America, there was a huge debacle. If you look at what happened to child abuse in this country in 1973, when the Supreme Court in 1973 said that all the laws restricting the slaughter of preborn children were null and void. They absolutely set those aside. And in just one fell swoop, completely unconstitutional. Ruth Ginsburg, who wanted abortion, said that it was a bad decision the way that they worded it, because it was indefensible for anybody who was honest. And Ginsburg, while I totally disagree with her about abortion, I am glad that she said on more than one occasion that that decision was based on a bad premise.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you look at what happened then with child abuse, that year, the incidence of child abuse absolutely spiked like a hockey stick.
Mm.
And
it basically unchained the beast in a way, right?
That's the thing. The humans were unleashed because government has a God-given role to restrain wickedness.
That's right.
And when the highest court in the land made this a lawless place when it comes to the slaughter of children, then children after they were born were much more vulnerable, because it wasn't just a sociological phenomenon, it was a spiritual phenomenon.
That's right.
We've got to fight this battle first and foremost on our knees, but it doesn't stop on our knees. When God has handed us the responsibility of our vote and the responsibility of understanding how our government operates, we need to be good stewards, as you said. So,
amen. Yes.
We're all people on both levels to understand the spiritual dynamic and to understand the historical opportunity that we have right now. So, Rick Green, thank you very much, brother.
You're God welcome. Bless. I sure appreciate you having me, man. That's why we call our main course biblical citizenship. It's both, just like you said. My pastor, he says it every Sunday. We don't have a political problem. We have a spiritual problem. And then he talks about how we fix the spiritual part, then the political part will be salt and light, and the political part will be solved as well. And I'll leave you with John Hancock. He said, I urge you by all that's dear, by all that's honorable, by all that's sacred, not only to pray, but to act. So we got to do both, exactly what you just said. Jim, it's been an honor. Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
God bless you, sir.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.